My name is James Fulbright. I'll be your moderator today. I write the blog I Am Not a Smoth, which is only interesting to you if you happen to run conventions. Otherwise, you're not going to be interested in it at all. I'm going to let the panels go down the row here and introduce themselves, and then what I'm going to do, the way I like to run things is I like to do a series of questions and answers for each panelist. So we'll go down and let each one take a turn. I'm going to reserve about 10 minutes at the end of the panel for questions and answers from the audience. Don't feel like you absolutely have to wait. If you've got something you really feel you'd like to interject, please raise your hand and we'll get to you, I promise. Brandon?
My name is Brandon Blackmore. I'm a programmer by profession and a game player and designer by hobby. Published a couple of role-playing games, most recent one being Bulletproof Blues. My blog is Blackmore Vituperative, which has, it started out just a place to just complain about things. That's mostly what it is now. But I also do reviews of things. I've gotten some free DVDs by writing reviews of things, so that's cool. I don't do advertising on it because I'm not interested in that. And that's me.
I'm John Hartness. I'm the creator of the Black Knight Chronicles, an urban fantasy series published by Bellbridge Books. I'm also the creator of the Bubba the Monster Hunter series of short stories. And I have parlayed my former poker blog into a career in the internet poker industry and then into writing novels and short stories for a large portion of my living. So I've had a blog since about 2005, and it's at johnhartness.com, and now I write about writing. I'm also a member of the magicalwords.net group blog, where we provide writing advice, career advice, con etiquette advice. It's a team blog with myself, Misty Massey, Faith Hunter, David B. Coe, Kalena Price, Carrie Ryan, Lucien Diver, Diane Farrah Francis, James R. Tuck, and a host of other famous and infamous guest artists from time to time.
Okay, I'm David Halperin. I've published one novel, Journal of a UFO Investigator. I was, many, many years ago, a teenage ufologist, if you know the word, someone who studies UFOs. I later became a professor of religious studies at the University of North Carolina. I'm 65 years old. I have spent perhaps 50 of those years thinking about UFOs and other religions, particularly Judaism. And over those 50 years, a lot of thoughts have come into my head. I blog about them at davidhalperin.net.
I'm Steve Wilson. I'm creator of the web audio series, The Arbiter Chronicles. We've got two new books out right now. Unfriendly Persuasion is my latest novel, and I'm working in the Redeus series created by some DC Comics expatriates. That's doing two new volumes this year. And I have a blog with no special name. It's just at stephenhwilson.com. I do a lot of book, movie, and TV show reviews, and I just basically rant about my opinions about things.
Hey, that's a special name.
I'm Sharon Stogner, and I run I Smell Chic at ismellchic.com. We are an entertainment review site. We do comics, books, and movie reviews. And I have a partner, she was in California, Katie, and we had a bunch of other reviewers, but it's really hard to keep a team of reviewers because they come and go. But we get Dark Horse is my favorite, but I get arcs from Dark Horse, from Image Comics, and Top Cow, and we review those. And then basically authors come to us asking us to review their books, and basically it's a way for them to advertise. We review, and then we interview guests. We've interviewed actors. My friend Kay, who's in California, in San Francisco, she got to go to Big Wow, and she got to interview Daryl from The Walking Dead.
Nice. I think there's a picture of me on your website smelling a sheep from StellarCon.
I smelled your sheep at StellarCon last year. Last year I came just as a press to come, but all we do, we do all the reviews, we do everything on the funny side, we like to be a little quirky, and we're for the reader, just looking for information and the laugh every day. We do something new every day. We put one post up, most of the time just one post up a day, so the author or that book gets the whole day. So it's not like, you know, you go to some blogs and there'll be like 10 posts that day and you're kind of like, no. So I'm a mom too, married 20 years, and I don't work.
So you have two jobs, you blog and your mom.
And then, I'm a stay-at-home mom and started reading Twilight 3 years ago. No judging. And got into urban fantasy, which is dark urban fantasy.
I read last night at the vampire thing that Twilight are gateway vampires.
It is a gateway book, and heaven forbid that other thing, the shades, gets people into
porn.
I don't do a lot of erotica romance, but we do romance, fantasy, science fiction, horror. I like horror, and I can talk forever.
Okay. when I first started blogging, I went online, yes, I know it was a major mistake, to get some advice, to see what people were recommending out there, and much of the advice I found was immediately contradicted on the next site I visited. And so what we'd like to do today is have an open discussion with the panelists about what has worked for you, what hasn't, and more importantly, why. So I'm going to start with the technical question. I'm going to start with Brandon, I'll let you guys go down, each of you answer. What platform do you use and or prefer, and which ones do you recommend?
It's appropriate you start with me for technical, because I'm a technical guy. I'm a programmer. I'm a system administrator in my day job. So what I would do is not necessarily what I would recommend normal people to do. If you're a normal person and you're not comfortable with setting up domain names or configuring your web hosting or installing WordPress, or even which is a blogging software that you run on a website. If you're not comfortable with that sort of thing, then don't do that. I do it, and I like doing that. But if that's not your bag, don't do that. Go to some place that provides blogs for you, like the WordPress.net, I think it is. Is it WordPress.net?
.com.
For free. They'll let you have a blog there for free. And they're not the only one, but they're the most well-known.
Google's
Blogger.
Blogger.
That's what I'm using.
I use Blogger.
Now, me personally, I got a website, I got a domain, I got like 30 domains. I control everything. I don't ever have to worry about whether Google decides to stop offering Blogger. Google has offered things in the past and then stopped offering them, and then you're stuck. So I got burned by that once a long time ago, and I don't ever want to be burned by that again. My domain name is mine, my web hosting. I can put it where I want. I'm not beholden to anybody. But you need a certain amount of either tech savvy or willingness to learn and spend time doing it to do that. So does that answer your question?
Very well.
Moving on.
I do it the same way you do, but I started on Blogger, and I hosted my first blog on Blogger for about 3 or 4 years, learned how to manipulate the templates, learned how to get in the habits of blogging frequently, and realized that this was something I was interested in doing. So then I took the training wheels off and I bought a domain, and now my blog is a WordPress site, and it's a WordPress template, and I own my own. I only own about 25 domains, but... And I'm not a tech guy. I have a theater degree with an English minor. So I am the litmus test for if I can figure it out technically, any jackass can figure it out technically, because this jackass figured it out. So it's not really hard, because again, I managed, and my site looks okay. It's not brilliant, but it's fine. So yeah, I started on Blogger and migrated everything to WordPress after a few years.
Yeah, I think probably I am the litmus test for that, or at least another litmus test. I use WordPress. It was when my book was about to come out, I had somebody build a site for me, and he asked me, do you want to have a blog on it? And I said, no way. And then I said, yes. And so I got a WordPress blog. I've been really quite happy with WordPress. Even I know how to use it.
Can I plead the fifth on the panel? I'm a system administrator for a whole bunch of bloggers. I run a server that hosts blogs. I use LiveJournal.
LiveJournal's still around?
It is. I do not recommend LiveJournal.
It's like still alive?
It is still alive.
It's like the MySpace of blogging.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? I set it up like 10 years ago, and when I was ready to do my own blog, I'm perfectly capable of setting up WordPress. I actually run about 3 sites with WordPress, and I just was too lazy to move all my stuff over off of LiveJournal. I'm going to one of these days, and I'll reroute my domain name. But no, I hate LiveJournal. I'm just using it because that's where my older blogs were.
Well, eventually we'll stop mocking you for that.
You shouldn't, really.
Well, because eventually you'll move all your crap, and then we'll stop mocking you.
We use Blogger. I came on, let's see, I suppose she's been around 3 years this April. Katie started it, and it was just something she did to keep. She got laid off from work at the time, so she's like, I need something to do. And she started it. They had like 113 followers when she asked me to be on there. And we're still on Blogger. We stay on Blogger. I like it. I knew nothing about any, what's the HTML stuff? I go online, and I Google, how do I do this? And I find it, and it tells you, and it is so easy. I love Blogger. A lot of people made the move to WordPress or whatever. They got those fancy blogs that kind of look like, you got, you know, little squares, and you go to this, and you read more. We keep ours very simple. It's clean, I just find Blogger the best for me, and it's very user-friendly, in my opinion.
Speaking of clean layout, my next question, I'm going to start with you and come back this way. Any suggestions on blog layouts?
We go on Blogger and you set up a template. It says, do you want, you know, with your main content down the middle, you can have over on the sidebar, you can have one sidebar, you can have 2 sidebars, and that's where you put gadgets, and there's a gadget thing. You just click and boom, it's there. I like mine to be very simple. The content is the focus of it. I'll bring it up real quick. The content runs right down the middle. We've got 2 sidebars because we do sell ad space now because we do lots of giveaways. Anytime an author comes on to do an interview or a guest post, usually they'll offer a free book, you know, to a winner or something. So we do a lot of mailing of our own. So to pay for that, we do blog space, and we're actually really cheap compared to others. But so it's real simple, and I guess we'll talk about branding.
We can.
Later. Okay.
We'll get to it.
Did I answer the question?
Huh?
Did I answer the question?
Sort of, yeah. I think you did.
You hit the high point, which is simple.
Simple lines, because the content is, if the content is your focus, you want the people to concentrate on that.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. Don't make it hard to find. You want your archives. I like a simple 2-column layout. Here's my image for my masthead. Here's my blog role. Here's my links. Here's my archives. That's enough for me.
I would say mine is pretty simple, too. Generally, when I first started blogging, I didn't use pictures even, but now I put in... What I generally try to do is have toward the top of the blog a picture off to the right-hand side, and to the bottom a picture off to the left.
Well, with like book reviews for us, you got to have the cover.
Yeah.
And I just figured out yesterday how to all tag those pictures, and you got to do it, and it'll drive more traffic towards your website. Click and type on Blogger. I don't have to do it on any other. Yes, I was going and you know how you tag when you put a post up and you put tags on it for people to find it? Search engines can find those, but they cannot do anything with your pictures. But you can tag your pictures separately the same way. Give them a title. When you click on the picture and it says, you know, make it bigger, small, or whatever, and there's one that says properties, click on properties, it pops up, you fill in your tags for it. Search engines will find it better and it'll show up in Google Images.
And your visually impaired readers will thank you for doing that. That's how, if you have, if you're doing your Safe for Accessibility, when the text readers come across a picture, they don't know what to do with it unless you put in.
David,
did you have anything else that you wanted
Nothing else for me.
Okay. For layout, yeah, keep it clean, keep it simple. Light background, dark type. We all want to look cool, but there have been plenty of studies that show that it's harder to read white type on a black background.
That is the worst. But yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm looking over your shoulder. Look, it's white with black writing. Yours
is
light gray, black writing. There's a reason that books are printed with black on white. So, you know, yes, you want a clean layout. I prefer a three-column style to a two-column, but that's purely yours of preference. I want a clean clean nav bar up at the top to let me know where I'm going for multiple pages. Make it easy to find everything. But yeah, that's one thing that's a mistake I see a lot of new bloggers making all the time is white text on a black background, and it just makes it hard to read.
The font also.
Yeah.
People go for this cute, fancy, curly font.
No, really, it's Times New Roman World.
And they make it
just
too small.
Deal.
Blogger only gives you four choices for font size. Small, smaller, big, bigger, or whatever. We use large, and when it shows up, it's not that big, but if you use, you know, the regular, it's too small to read.
And
careful of font and size.
Don't ever use Comic Sans. Just ever. Unless you're an elementary school teacher.
Pick one and stick with it.
It's a Times New Roman World. A nice serif font. Sorry, I'm old.
When you store your...
I generally agree with what they're saying. There's, I'm sorry, I can't read your sign. What's your name, sir?
Me.
You.
Steve.
Hi, Steve. You set up blogging sites for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? I've done that a lot, too. That's one of the reasons why I was telling people, well, apparently you guys are, like, more tech savvy than I give most people credit for.
That's why we're on the blog.
Welcome to Science Fiction Dimension, Steve.
Well, that's true.
Nerd foo quotient.
A little higher here than ever.
Yeah.
When other people have asked me to set up sites, I always tell them basically what you guys have all just been saying, and they, 9 times out of 10, pretty much ignore everything I tell them. They do gray text on a black background, which is...
Or blue.
Or blue. It's and they go crazy with the crazy colors and jibber jabber all over the place, and that's what some people like. Personally, I prefer. This is kind of messed up because my tablet doesn't have the font for my title. It's actually a variation on Times, and if you're a web person, you know you can specify typefaces in a row, and it'll go down until the browser finds the one it has. My tablet apparently doesn't have any of them, which is why it's a big block text up there. But anyway, you got a header. I got my column, which is where my blog entries are. In the left column, I'll do this to see if you can see, I've got a little drive-through RPG ad here, which is a company I work for. So that I like, you know, I work for them, so I like it. And then over on the left, I've got, you know, the history, month and year, you know, going back to 2005, which is actually when I started this blog. Simple, readable. When I set up my blog, like most of us, tablets weren't really a thing. But especially now that they are, this is way easier to read than low contrast text against a very similar background, crazy fonts, tiny fonts, you know. It's way easier to read, and tablets are the way things are going. So I agree with everything they're saying.
You want to remove barriers to your content. You want to make it easy on people. You want to make it easy on the eyes, easy on the head.
And professional looking.
Yeah.
You have all the cutesy, this, that, and the colors. You're not as professional. You're not going to attract. Like, we get arcs from Penguin and from Kensington Books. They contact us and say, do you want these, you know, advanced reader copies? Because they go to our blog, they look, and they think, okay, these people take it serious. Your numbers count, but, you know, you look serious.
Now, here's something else. Typeface, which you alluded to and you alluded to. There was a study done not too long ago on the trustworthiness of typefaces. What they did is the New York Times had an article, which the purpose of the article was not obvious. What it was is it was a quiz, and it said something factual about global warming. It wasn't controversial in any way. It was just like a minor thing. And there was a poll, you know, is this true or is this false? The actual purpose of the poll was, out of the 100,000 people who saw that poll, 20% saw this typeface, 20% saw that typeface, 20% saw that typeface. So it was a big enough statistical group that they could judge who actually believed it was true and run the numbers on what typeface people perceived intuitively as being the most trustworthy. We're saying this is true. Do you agree it's true? True or false? Comic Sans is like 60%. Times was very high. Arial was a little bit below Times. The number one starts with a B. I'm drawing a blank on it. Well, but anyway.
Baskerville?
Is it Baskerville?
Baskerville.
Which is
again, a nice serif font.
It's from the same family as Times. It's got a little bit more character to the letters, but
looks a little older.
It looks a little bit old fashioned. It's the typeface we use for the text in our book for that exact reason. But so, depending on your audience, the typeface you pick matters. If you want to come across as something professional and you actually want people to agree with what you're saying, you choose a typeface which makes you look professional. You know, if you're writing something about your cats and you don't actually care whether anybody reads it or not, you know, go Comic Sans, who cares? But depending on what you want out of it.
I really love cats.
I love our cat. I miss her terribly. But yeah, anyway. There you go. I had a point there. I hope you got it.
You actually get to it. And I'm normally break my rule here and actually answer this question sort of myself. There's a gentleman, if you want to look up some more work, his name is Roger Black. Roger Black was the guy that designed Rolling Stone, the LA Times, a number of well-written professional publications. He has a book out. It's a little dated at this point, but it's called Websites That Work. He basically has made a very valid point that everything that applies in print applies to websites as far as legibility, ease of navigation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a really good source if you want to check it out.
I'd buy that. Makes sense.
Yeah. I'm going to switch a little bit over to topics. For the new bloggers out there, and we may have some that are looking to get into it, how do you narrow down the focus of what you want to blog about and choosing a general topic? And we might as well go ahead and pick up my follow-up question while you're doing it, how do you come up with daily, weekly, monthly, what have you, topics to blog on your blog? And I'm going to start with John. We're going to go that way, and we'll come back to Brandon.
So last again?
Sorry. Do it first.
Depends on what you want your blog to be. If your blog is just your online journal, who gives a shit what you write about? Write about anything you want to. Write about your cats. Nobody's going to care. When I started blogging, I was writing specifically a poker blog. I was looking to monetize a blog and to track my evolution as a poker player from terrible to merely bad. I blogged almost every day, and it was something about the game. Occasionally, I would throw in things about my life. I don't play much poker now. I used that blog to get jobs writing for various poker websites and book advertisers. And if that's what you're trying to do, then you're trying to monetize a blog for a specific topic, and there are a bajillion websites that can tell you how to do that with the search engine optimization and the backlinks and the AdWords and all of that garbage. But that's typically not what we're doing here. Most people are talking about how to either have a blog about something they love. Say if you wanted to have a Weird Al Yankovic blog. Okay, cool. Have a Weird Al Yankovic blog. Yeah, but we either want to blog about ourselves, we want to blog about our product, or we want to do a review and entertainment blog. So now I don't narrow down what I want to blog about. My domain name is my name. You go on there, you're just as likely to find a blog post about what I did at work as you are a blog about my fantasy novels. You will always find an update on where I'm going to be and what I'm going to be doing when a con is coming up. That's always going to be there.
But you also have an author website.
No.
No, you don't?
Oh. No, I have one website. My blog is my author website. I kind of live right out, wide ass open. So, nah, if you want to find out anything about me, go there. So, yeah, so I don't limit myself to what I want to blog about, but if you want to, go for it.
Okay, well, my blog started out as an accompaniment to my book, Journal of a UFO Investigator, and so it was basically about UFOs, but not in the way people usually think. That for me, UFOs have nothing to do with life on other planets or outer space. They're all about us, our longings and our fears, and how we face the end of our existence. So there was a lot that I had to say on that. I resolved to post every week for a while. When I became discouraged, I thought nobody was reading it. I let it slide. Now I'm back to quite faithfully once a week. But since this question, how we face the end of our existence and our longings and our fears, is basically a religious question, I found myself talking a lot about religion of other kinds than UFOs. And I found myself drawing on my memories. And I'll give you an example of one post I'm particularly proud of. It's called Close Encounter. It's called Sadat in Israel, Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. And it started out when I first saw, how many of you have seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
Yeah, when it came out.
Yeah, you remember the climactic scene where the UFOs first make this pass over the runway? And then finally the great chandelier UFO settles there. When I saw that, I had a sense of deja vu. I'd seen that before. I saw it in November of 1977 on the live news from Israel, where they were showing the runway at the Ben Gurion Airport. Sadat was supposed to have been there a half hour ago. Where was he? Oh, there's something coming from the southwest. It looks like a star, but it's getting bigger. And then gliding into the runway is a plane with Arab Republic of Egypt on the side. That I call it a close encounter of the fifth kind, when hostile aliens communicate with each other to accept each other as fellow citizens of the universe.
I have to follow that.
Yes, it's very,
very, very stirring.
Ha! I went first.
I set out when I decided to blog weekly. I set out to just do reviews. I said, okay, I'm going to review mostly science fiction books and mostly older stuff because the new stuff is out there and it all has pretty covers and it all has a series number on it, so you know exactly which order in which to read it. But there's older stuff you shouldn't be missing too. So that's kind of what I took as my theme. but I was very upfront saying, I'm not going to do a scholarly review. I'm not going to do an objective review. This is me. This is Steve Wilson. This is what I think of it, and I'm going to use the word I to excess in my review. Here's how I felt about this work. And I pretty much carried on with that. I kind of broadened into topics that I think are of interest to fandom at large. I've been in fandom for over 30 years. I've run conventions. I've put on plays. And so I think I'm kind of in touch with the science fiction and fantasy fandom experience. And so I think, hey, if I'm interested in something, probably a lot of others in this community are too. And so sometimes like the Colorado shootings and when they started calling them the Batman shootings, that was a blog that I got lots of feedback on. Just basically saying, please don't call this the Batman shootings. Batman had nothing to do with this. And, you know, so my topic is what I saw last week, what I finished reading last week, or what pissed me off last week that I think would piss off other fans too.
I'm purely entertainment. nothing personal on our blog. It's all, you know, it's we do funny posts. Like I did one recently, top 10 reasons why you should, you know, read our blog, and, you know, it's silly things, but we want you to walk away smiling, or click away smiling or laughing. We post every day, Frequency Matters. If you want to be in the business and get the notice of publishing companies and things, you have to post at least 3 times a week, preferably every day. Our blog is very eclectic. We do books, movies, and comics, but it's what we want to do for the most part. You know, movie came out, Die Hard came out. I love action movies. I went to see it. I reviewed it. And, it's, you know, it's all from mine. Katie does it from her point of view. Comics, I like horror comics, action horror, urban fantasy comics, you know. So I'll do those. And then there's the paranormal romance, which we do a lot of. So you never know from day to day what you're going to see on our blog. But that's part of what we do. And there'll be an interview one day, then there'll be a guest post. And one of the guest posts that I came up with, which I don't want to make men feel objectified, but it's called the Alpha Male Diner. And the author takes their alpha male and their romance and turns him into a recipe. And, you know, 2 cups of badass, a cup of tortured soul, or, you know, piercing eyes and fangs or whatever. And then, you know, cook and simmer, cover in leather. And then the taste, it's really fun. The taste test is a snippet from their book, and, you know, it's like an ad for them, but our readers love it. It's funny. You know, I came up with my own, coming up with graphics. I can use paint. I don't do,
Photoshop.
Yeah. I don't know how to do that. But I don't have it. But this is too little. But it's like a diner. It says Alpha Male Diner, and it says serving dishes you want. It goes straight to your thighs. And at the end says thank you, come again and again and again. So we target those people, and then, you know, I just started Character Confessions, where the author comes in and he or she takes their character and lets the character vent about the author, and the author and the character have them kind of fight it out over, you know, the mistreatment of their of them and stuff like that. So we kind of nothing personal, all entertainment, funny. But professionally done.
Brendan?
The question being, how do you pick a topic?
How do you focus down to something?
Well, it really depends on why you're doing it. Blackmore Vituperative, I was initially just, I wanted to bitch about things that, in good company, you don't sit and bitch about. So that's how that started. I've actually cut way back on the complaining, and now it's basically reviews of movies, new and old, that I think are good. You bother reviewing something I think's bad, because the world's full of people telling you stuff sucks. You don't need another person telling you that. But if something I think is good, I review things I think are good. Books, sometimes it'll be something political. I wrote something about the Connecticut shooting, you know, which is my take on it, which is, I was very conflicted. So a lot of it's like soul searching kind of, you know, BS kind of stuff that probably nobody but my sister reads. But see, but that's my personal blog. Now I've got a second blog, which is for my the game, which is ostensibly why I'm a guest here. And that is just about that game company, what it's coming out. I started that like a year ago. I post to it regularly. You know, how is the game coming? What have we worked on lately? Here's a piece of artwork, you know, from the game. Basically just a status report to keep people interested and aware of what's going on. So it's got a very specific purpose. There's nothing personal on it. I say that I'm coming to a con, you know, but that's really all I say about that. It's all very, very focused. So it really depends on what you want to do with that particular blog. You've got a personal blog where you're going to write poetry and, you know, post recipes of drinks you tried and liked, you whatever. That's great. If you're doing it for a business reason, it really needs to be very just tightly focused on that business. Don't indulge your personal whims any more than you can absolutely resist, and just focus on the business reasons. So it really depends what you're doing with it.
We actually, my partner actually registered our website as a business. She took it to that step because she want, you know, we want to make some money with advertising and stuff like that. But and because we travel to cons and all, we use the business write-offs.
It's also easier on your taxes when you have, if you do actually get money flowing in and you don't have to pass it through to your personal taxes. All right, because you wanted to go first.
No, actually, I think you should continue.
Okay.
Like, start with this fellow first.
Okay. Yeah, we'll go with David on this first on this one, and we'll continue to go that way. I'm going to ask a follow-up that actually Brandon just suggested. Is there topics that you guys consider forbidden? Something you probably shouldn't touch?
No.
I would agree with no. I personally kind of avoid...
Best answer ever.
I personally kind of avoid anything that I think is too politically polarizing, just because I think we're so polarized right now, so I try not to get too heavily into my political views, because they may turn some people off, and I don't want to do that. I'd rather try to build bridges on things.
Well, we're all entertainment, so we don't touch on... We don't slam an author. We would never. We will post a one or two sheet review, but the author won't feel like they were attacked or their work was attacked. So some blogs have a good time, you know, tearing an author or a art down or something. But we never do that.
To the degree, I don't agree with you. And that's okay. We can disagree.
That's okay. Let's have
now, let's not have no fights.
I think I can take him.
I doubt it. He's wired.
No, but here's the deal. I'll give you an actual example from my own experience. The more personal your blog is, the more willing you should be to go into potentially controversial areas. But there are some things that you should simply not put online. You shouldn't criticize where you work on your blog. No, I'm being very, very serious.
Absolutely.
You should not...
Ask, we'll be fine.
Have a friend about to lose his job.
Yeah. So it's one thing to talk about something that's politically touchy, like a shooting, or whether your particular opinions on global warming or gun laws or whatever. You know, there's that, all right? And that's up to you. But there are some things that you really shouldn't do. You shouldn't criticize where you work. You shouldn't reveal a whole bunch of personal information that could get back to the wrong person. Assume anything you put out there will be seen by the person you least want to see it, because it's going to happen. I worked at a company a few years ago. They were Mac crazy. Everybody in the company loved Macs. I'm a programmer. I can write on this. You know, I didn't need to use a Mac for what I did in any way. What didn't help me at all. They gave me a Mac. I hated it. I used it for about a month, and I hated it. That's why they make more than one flavor ice cream. I'm not saying Macs are bad. But at that time, I hated every moment I worked because I was using equipment that I despised. It was uncomfortable. I didn't like the screen, didn't like the keyboard, didn't like the software. I cannot express to you how much I hated what I was doing every single day.
But
and
you're doing
I put,
a pretty good job of trying.
And I put all that in my blog. And after like a week and a half later, I'd say, oh, here's the thing that happened today that I hate about Macs. Why I still hate Macs. It was like blog post after blog post like that. Not only is that bad for that particular job, yes, they had a talk with me and said, we don't think you're happy here. And I was like, no shit. What would make you happy? Let me use my own computer to write the code that I'm writing for you, because I can. They're like, no, we eat our own dog food here. And I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, that's a problem, because this is horrible. They're like, all right, well, we don't think this is working out. So, but it goes past that, because the next place you want to work when they're looking things up on you. Now, 10 years ago, this wasn't as big a deal. Now, if they're not Googling you before they hire you, somebody's not doing their job. So when they go back and they see something you wrote about where you worked 5 years ago and you're talking about the company, or even after you leave the company and you're bitching about Circuit City and how badly managed it is, you know, which I did not do, but I know people who did, are they going to want to hire you after that? You know, wait, if you wrote this about them, how can I trust that you won't write that about us? So be very careful about your business relationships and your personal relationships. Be very, very careful about saying anything negative online, because it will haunt you forever. Now, I was very lucky, that particular blog experience, I almost immediately realized what a bad idea it was to put all that stuff online. And it's no longer online, you can't Google it, it's nowhere. It's not in a cache anywhere, it's gone. I was very lucky, that was very early in the blogosphere. If that happened today, somebody would have taken a screenshot of it and it would never go away. So I was lucky. Learn from my mistake.
Yeah, the internet's like herpes. That shit don't go away. I agree with a lot of what he said, with a lot of what Brandon said. Thank you. Especially for women in the blogosphere, there's a lot of creepy ass guys out there. Be careful of too many personal details. I have friends who have been stalked in real life off of things they've placed on the internet. And I only have so many shells, so I can only cover so many of y'all at a time. But really, be judicious about what you're writing about your personal life. Like I said, I am pretty wide open in what I write on my blog. And that has occasionally come back to bite me by me writing things that my parents perhaps found embarrassing. Because I may have said something in an offhand comment about something that they were going through that they didn't want shared with the rest of the world. So I wasn't judicious enough and led to real embarrassment for them. And that's not what I wanted. That's nothing I ever intended. But it is out there on the internet, and it's out there pretty much forever. You can't unring that bell. So it's, and really, don't argue with people on the internet. It is better to be silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Mark Twain's been dead a long time, and he's still smarter than most of us.
Yep. All right, I'm going to do a Q&A. I've sort of run over where I was going to do for the panelists, but are there any questions from the audience we need to address?
How many of you use social networking
to do what?
Social networking.
No, to, for what purpose?
To increase your blog.
Promote your stuff. by the way, if you want John's quick and dirty blog tips, own your domain name. Go own. Not the own your name, not just because it's a better idea than just owning the name of your first book, because you hopefully will write another book, but because you don't want some other jerk owning your name. So own your name, and your name is your brand.
Lady, excuse me, lady in the back.
Yeah.
I don't often publish excerpts, but I do use my blog, my Facebook, and my Twitter to update my readers on when the next book is coming out, appearances I'm doing, the step, if people are haranguing me.
Jeez. Sorry.
Brandon wins.
Don't use a soda to prop up your tablet.
But I don't typically post excerpts, but I do use it to post status updates on upcoming works.
Anything like background bits or working through your
No. Not because I'm opposed to it. It just doesn't work for me. I have beta readers and critique partners that I use for that.
May I answer that question also for mine? That the book that came out about 300 pages long was once 1,500 pages long in manuscript.
Bro, that's taller than you.
Yes. And I started doing once a month a post called Outtakes of a UFO Investigator, in which I post some of the stories that couldn't stay. I've just started doing this, and I'm going. It's going to be completely for free. I'm starting to write with each one something about the editorial process, why I had to cut this story out.
And then at the bottom, you put a buy link to where they can buy the book that had the rest of the stories that made it into the book.
Of course, I mean, that's...
Non-profit organizations.
That is the long-run purpose of the blog.
Well, Sharon had something short of...
Well, what we do is we go to authors' websites and blogs every day, because that's where we go to get information, because, you know, I review their book, then I put their bio, I put all their books they have, just everything. We just started doing... I'm on a Facebook group called, a Romance Book Bloggers group. We're a private group, a bunch of bloggers, we talk about y'all. And,
I just wanted to, in general,
the blog squad. I don't know if you can see it, but we now do author website reviews. We go to author's website. I've got a list of like 12 things that every author site should have reader friendly. And they're like must haves, you know, the bio, a printable book. Please. The books in order.
Never thought of that.
The excerpts, or, you know, the blurb next to the to the cover. Yeah, and I mean, there's lots of other things, you know, navigation. It's not how pretty it is, it's about how functional it is.
Email me that list, please.
I will do your blog.
My blog's awful.
Here it is, right? My checklist. Book cover, you know, buy links. Does the author have it in series? Is the blog updated? Contact information. Oh my God.
Okay, we're out of time, so I'm gonna shut you off here. I did have one question that was in the very back here who's been waiting patiently. Keep our answers concise, and we'll try to get this question answered.
For the bloggers who have sponsors, how do you approach them? What do sponsors need to see?
We have ads.
PageRank.
We have a tab that says add space and authors gone. It's 2-week ad for $20, 4-week ad for $35, and you get a top spot on one of our sidebars.
How much do I have a year for?
I don't know. Katie does all the pricing, but there is a discount for long term. But we got one author's book in 6 months, and any picture they want, they can change it at any time, and if picture links to wherever they want it to link to. And we have authors say it makes a difference, you know, if we're appealing to your...
When I was actually selling ads, I needed PageRank. I needed to be able to tell people what my... How many...
PageRank for a keyword?
Google PageRanks.
Okay.
Right here.
As opposed to...
Followers. I got my followers, my emailers, my Facebook, my Twitter, my Google. I have Pinterest for us. I post 3 books and... Oh, yeah. All over it. Sorry.
Is that it?
One thing? Okay, I don't do ads because I don't want to. That's just my personal choice. But one thing I wanted to warn people about, somebody touched on it briefly, site optimization, search engine optimization is snake oil. It's snake oil. Anybody who wants to sell you or have you pay for search engine optimization is going to rip you off. It is worthless. It's useless.
Google.
There's like 5 very basic, very simple things you can do to make sure that your site gets indexed. And one's put alt text on all your images, which is both good for you and good for people who are visually impaired. Have meaningful content, link to other sites, and...
Wikipedia.
The main thing, what it boils down to, is have useful content. If you have useful content, your search engine rankings will be reasonably accurate where they should be. Doesn't mean you'll be number one. Do not ever pay anybody for search engine
optimization. And unique content.
Yeah, don't just repost crap other people have put online. That's just junk. Sorry, that's my thing.
All right.
Just wanted to say that before.
I'm going to do a signing, so if you want to come buy my stuff, come to the signing tables right now.
Thank you for all the panelists.
Thank you.